content that they should be creating is like, step one is sharing your expertise and sharing this value with all of your connections. Because you're not only competing with all of like your actual competitors, you're competing for attention on social media. So you're competing with all the cat videos, all the babies, everything else that's out there. So you need a really strong message, and you start that with sharing your expertise and showing people what you're all about and what's in it for them. Why are they gonna watch this?
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Denise Allison from Nova Scotia in Canada. If you don't know where that is, are you in Halifax, Denise?
I'm actually in Clare. I'm 3 hours away from Halifax.
Oh, geez. Is that like a fishing village or something?
It is.
Okay. Everything's a fishing village outside of Halifax, just so people who are not aware. Yeah. And the way we got connected was through your dad, I think, right? I was on his podcast.
Yes, exactly. Don't tell him that, because then he likes to take credit.
Well, I don't even know who your dad is. So Denise is a social media marketing manager, and she operates her own consultancy. So thanks, Denise, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. And I think the first thing that got my attention was this exciting post on LinkedIn that you made that got a lot of attention around how some silly people are inappropriate to women on LinkedIn. So maybe we can start with that and just tell me, you know, kind of give a snapshot of what happened there and what sort of the issue is.
Yeah, so pretty much ever since I've been on LinkedIn, every once in a while I would get messages that are frankly inappropriate. So some are just annoying and a little bit like, you probably shouldn't say that, but some are more like, you definitely should not say that. And that is people sending messages with like kissing emojis or pictures of flowers. Someone said something like, I don't know what love is until I met you, or things like this. It's like, I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you're sending this to me. This is not a dating site. And if it was, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. I'm really offended that I've never gotten any of these.
Yeah. So there's that, but then there's also people commenting on my post and really taking away from the point of whatever that post was by posting things like, you're so beautiful, posting hearts, posting flowers. And it's not to say that in certain contexts, sending hearts or smiley faces or what have you isn't okay. But when it's strangers that you don't know and it's out of line, that's inappropriate. And then people calling me sweetie or honey or dear, that's never sat well with me, because it's really like that person is saying, I look down on you and you're lesser than. So it's really taking away from that equality. So basically, this has been happening to me. I know a lot of my friends on LinkedIn, I've spoken to them and it's the same thing. I'm not like, this in-demand person. This is just something that happens across the board to women on social media, mostly from men. And so I created a video about it. So I created a video and I said, don't call me sweetie, don't call me honey, don't call me dear. It's inappropriate, especially on LinkedIn. That's a professional platform. It's not for dating. We don't want to be hit on. Some of these things are inappropriate, especially kissy faces and flowers. It's generally, if you're sending them to strange women that you don't know, there's a time and a place, and this is not one.
I think that's the point, which is, it's really bizarre that, I get it that, okay, great, I'm thinking these things, maybe someone's out there actually thinking these things, but why are you thinking this on LinkedIn of all places, which is the only real business social network that, there's Alignable and there's kind of LinkedIn that I know of that people are actively using. It seems really bizarre to me.
And then I finished off this video and post with, treat women and people equally with respect. And if you wouldn't say it to men, don't say it. Now,
which is actually, that's really practical advice, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought so. I created it.
And okay, here's my thought on this, though. Do women use language towards each other that's different? Like, because I see on posts, now maybe it's more Instagram, where women are complimenting women in that way.
And they're like, hey, love. And
or you're gorgeous or whatever. I see.
Yeah. They definitely do that. And that is part of the problem as well. So say, for example, every time someone posts a new headshot, mm-hmm. or every time a woman, let's say, posts a new headshot, it's for their business. They're like this fierce women entrepreneur or like a CEO of this company. And all the comments say, you're so beautiful. And it's like, okay, but you're like, this post is really about how amazing she is at running her business and all the success she's had. And so I suggested that people shouldn't default to saying you're beautiful, but to think about commenting on people on their ideas and their thoughts and some of the other accomplishments aside from that. So again, I'm not
saying that it's still like, even though it's women doing it, that it's, you're not comfortable with that. And that, because it's almost like, you know, as a man, we're sitting back and we're watching this banter between women, and I'm smart enough to know, like, I'm not interested in talking to you like that. First of all, because it's like, I don't know you from Adam, and I wouldn't do that anyway.
Yeah. And like, again, it's not saying that you can never call a woman beautiful in your life, but it's that shouldn't be the default, because man posts his new headshot, no one is saying, oh, you're so handsome and you're so cute.
You're handsome.
And you're so adorable.
Well, you know what? I feel bad now, guys, that I'm not commenting on your headshots.
Yeah.
Maybe you should put some more effort into it. Maybe it's a reflection that your headshot ain't that good, guys. We gotta.
Yeah, maybe. But then I thought that the reaction to the post was going to be like a dozen women being like, oh, it's so annoying. That happens to me too. And a few men being like, oh yeah, like that's not okay. And maybe some being like, oh, I didn't realize that sending kissy face emojis was inappropriate.
Wait, but some of these people said that.
Yeah, and so I got this video has over 150,000 views.
Oh wow, you're famous.
Yeah, it's not something that ever happened to me. Like most of my LinkedIn videos get like, it's a good video.
Yeah, that's crazy.
5,000.
Okay. That's really.
But then, like, half of the comments were like, you're so conceited and you're just posting this video so that we know that you're hit on. And
oh my God. So you clearly were not wearing the alpaca sweater and they don't know you're from Nova Scotia in a fishing village.
Yeah. And
you're
some
very practical down to earth person.
Yeah. Some of the comments were like,
that's so weird.
Based on your accent, you're clearly American and I don't think you're oppressed.
So were these Canadians saying that or?
No, it's people from all around the world.
Around the world. Okay.
Yeah, people took issue with the fact that in some cultures it's the norm to call people hun or deer. And like, okay, that is fine. And definitely I know being from a small town, like you go into Tim Hortons, you get a coffee, they say, here you go, deer. That is not the situation we're talking about. We're talking about LinkedIn. We're talking about the way that women are treated differently from men. Like, I'm not saying like that the lady at Tim Hortons is evil. That's really not what I'm getting at. A lot of people took offense to that. Yeah. And a lot of men came out of the woodwork to tell me that I was conceited, full of shit, and that this is bullshit that shouldn't be on.
So I think this goes, you know, there's a couple of things to unpack there. We won't go too far down the rabbit hole if you don't want to, but it is interesting to me. It's kind of interesting. So one, again, going back, it sounded like you were saying that you still feel it's inappropriate for women to comment on those things, or is there more leeway there because it's woman to woman?
Yeah, I said people shouldn't comment on your post. Like, again, default shouldn't be you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Comment women on their ideas, goals, achievements, what have you. It's more relevant to the post. So I wasn't saying all men are evil and
So then the flip side, that was the other question I had, because I know there are other countries where people don't have the social framework that we do, right? And it's probably, you know, they're like maybe 50 or 100 years behind, literally.
Yes. To note, those aren't really the people who are commenting.
You were saying these are like North American.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. So I think, you know, what I took away from watching that video was like, is this not understood? And it just felt like to me, like, wow, I'm shocked that you have to say this. But you know, maybe I'm in a bubble and I don't see this stuff. So it's kind of interesting to get a viewpoint from what was going on.
I mean, I really didn't think there'd be so much to disagree with.
Oh, that's so crazy. Now, to change gears, but the business that you're in is helping people with their social media, like their organic content strategy, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that is how to get attention and then convert that into real world relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what you're saying over here is like really good free advice. Mm-hmm. And it, at the same time, it also got you a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. So have you seen positives out of that where it's resulted in people saying like, what do you do and how?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely anytime you share some kind of message that is galvanizing, so someone can object and say they don't agree with it, you will get some flack. I definitely got more than I thought, and I didn't create this post to like get famous, as mm-hmm. some people say. But it also highlights to people who are of the same opinion that you are the type of person for them. So one of the mm-hmm. things that I always advise people to do when they're creating content is to choose a side. Not saying you could do this, or on the flip side, you could do that, saying this is truly what I believe. And if you're not with me on that, well, then we're not going to have a good working relationship because it's something I truly believe. And so then you will repel those people, which always sounds scary in marketing, but it's not.
You did that though. That makes sense.
Yeah. But you will attract the people even more who are of the same belief as you.
And you found that with that particular post or with other posts you've made?
Yeah, I mean, it got me in front of people that like maybe weren't paying as much attention, or I got a lot of new connections from it.
Oh, and then really? Wow, that's great. Yes. I mean, with 150,000 views, that would make sense where people are just like, connect, let's go.
Yeah, and so it put me in front of a lot more people than, again, the posts that perform well and get like 4,000 to 5,000 views. But it just kind of added fuel to that reach and engagement.
For your clients, I know you mentioned they're small, medium type businesses. What are sort of the businesses that they have? Are they
type of clients that I work with?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're usually in like a coaching and or consulting kind of role. They're personal brands or thought leaders. So they're generally like a solopreneur or a really small team, and they're going forward on their expertise, their thoughts, and their ideas. And so the content that they should be creating is like, step one is sharing your expertise and sharing this value with all of your connections. Just sharing really vanilla type of content is not really going to get you anywhere, because you're not only competing with all of like your actual competitors that offer the same or similar things, you're competing for attention on social media. So you're competing with all the cat videos, all the babies, and everything else that's out there. So you need a really strong message, and you start that with sharing your expertise and showing people what you're all about and what, like what's in it for them, why are they gonna watch this. So that's always number one, is sharing your expertise. But number two, that's like even more important than that in some ways, is sharing your personality and connecting with people. So it's one thing to just share that expertise, but again, all of your competitors can offer that same thing. So what generally sets people apart is the relationships that they build with people. And so I know a lot of people, like whether they think this consciously or subconsciously, like if someone has a problem that they need solving, they're not going to like make a spreadsheet of all of the possible options in the world and say, this checks this and this checks that. They're going to say, I need help with social media marketing, and whoever pops up, that's who they're going to go to. So your goal is to build that relationship with them so that when they have that problem that you solve, you're the obvious choice. So if I did a rebrand recently, so I needed help with doing logos, branding, and all that stuff. I did like take all of these options and weigh them against each other. A really good friend of mine does branding, and so I called her and said, I need a new brand. let's go. And so that's how people should be looking at this. It's really about the relationships you build, and it's not always about having better skills than someone else. It's about those connections.
So I can see where, you know, sharing your expertise and being personable and sharing your personality, that kind of frames the type of content or the way that you communicate in the content, right? The relationship part, like, how do you bridge that? Like, where does it go from those first two to the third one?
You're going to build your content. And so in your content itself, there should be relationship building. So you're going to make sure that you're showing like your real personality. You want who you are. I create a lot of videos. So you want who you are on video, or even in like the words that you write, you want it to sound like you. So if I meet you on the street or like in a coffee shop, for there to not be a disconnect between how you show up on social media and how you show up in real life. So you always want to bring your true self forward. You always want to, again, if you're making video, look at the camera so that it feels like it's one-on-one. Even though me as the video creator, I'm talking to all these people, you as the video consumer, you feel like we're having a one-on-one conversation, kind of like if we're doing a FaceTime mm-hmm. or an Instagram chat or what hey, have you.
That, so makes, like, that makes sense. So.
Yeah. So that's kind of like level one. Level two is making sure that if anyone is commenting on your posts, which is like really what you're hoping happens, that you're taking the time to answer them. And you're not answering with thanks. You're not answering with like a high five or thumbs up. You are leaving meaningful comments. And then like same go, like you want to have those conversations in the comments on your own post, but also on other people's posts. So the next level, whatever level we're at now, two or three, is taking the time to comment on other people's posts. So if something looks interesting to you, commenting with, again, a meaningful comment. This is great.
So do you have people set, like, do you do that for your clients, or do your clients, you're kind of coaching them to set aside time, or how do you?
I'm coaching them to do it. So usually what I do is like for starters, you can either pick 10 people that you're going to comment on their posts, or even just setting something like commenting on 10 posts a day, leaving 10 meaningful comments that are going to start a conversation. It's not commenting for commenting's sake. It's you're going to say something that will incite them to respond, and there's some kind of back and forth.
Sorry, you're saying their own posts or on other people's?
On other people's posts.
So you're saying every day go in, find posts that other people are making, and then put deep, you know, not just like the thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, exactly.
Like actually, you know, respond to what the post is about and try to be engaging.
Yeah. And the post that you choose, I mean, there can be a range. You can comment on potential customers, so people who could use your services or products and building that relationship with them. You can also choose other influencers. You can choose current clients. Like you can choose just a celebrity, not celebrities, but you know, people with a higher number of followers, and then you can interact with some of their people as well, interact with them, and then it gets you visible to their people. So it's really about finding your people. If they are one of your people, they're on board with a lot of the same beliefs and values and things that you share, then their people will probably be as well. So it's about growing that way.
I got it. So if I'm like a coach or a consultant, then is this across like other platforms that are more effective, or are you coaching them to go across one or more platforms?
Yeah. So the most effective platform for this is LinkedIn, because it's more of an open platform. Most people interact as themselves, so as a personal profile, so you can comment on anyone else's posts. People are open to connecting with, like, using it as a networking site and connecting with people they might not necessarily know. A not great place to do it is Facebook, and that is because it's a lot more closed off than other platforms. So as your page, which most people are using on Facebook to conduct business, as your page, you can't really go comment on other people's post as easily as you can on LinkedIn. Twitter is a great place to do it as well. Instagram can work as well, but I find the best is LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, I like LinkedIn, obviously. It's not perfect, but that makes sense. You're saying that the organic reach of those comments, as opposed to Facebook, which people may or may not realize is super like monetized, right? It's like, hey, you can pay to make this thing work better for you. But whereas LinkedIn seems to still have that organic sort of reach of...
Yeah, I mean, in terms of reach, LinkedIn does much better than other platforms. But also the fact that you can actually comment on someone else's post as your business, like your business brand, which is your profile.
Oh, you're saying I can take my business page on LinkedIn and comment on people's posts?
No, not necessarily, because it does still have those privacy rules, but most people interact as their personal profile.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I had it backwards for a second there. I was like, wow, this is something new I didn't know about. That's awesome. Okay, well, this is great advice. I think some of us are better at certain things than others. And for me, I don't know. I think I produce really good content when I produce it. But I don't always have a game plan in mind and a strategy around it. So it's almost like what you're providing is for your clients is like, yes, create this really cool content, but then here's your practical strategy to turn this into relationships that end up hopefully be customers at some point.
Yeah. I mean, something that I shared on LinkedIn recently as a video was having active versus passive goals. So creating your content, that's great. Like if your goal is to create 3 pieces a week, that is great. Another great active goal would be, like we mentioned, leaving 10 meaningful comments per day or connecting with 15 influencers in like the recruiting space or something like that. More passive goals is like waiting. Like you're waiting for people to follow you and connect with you. And we know that everyone, whether they admit it or not, everyone's goal is to get more followers.
Sure.
But that's not going to happen without putting these active goals into play. So it's more of a lag indicator as opposed to a lead indicator, which is taking these actions.
Got it. Okay. These are awesome tips, by the way. And they're probably more than tips. It's really, I see it like a strategy and a framework, that, particularly for LinkedIn, which I'm probably more personally even just aligned to than any of the other platforms. So I really appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. So I want to be respectful of your time.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to ask you 2 questions. Why? What? You got nothing else going on? You're not going to see Star Wars yet, are you?
Well, I mean, it's kind of snowstorming here, so...
Oh, you're stuck.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I can... My car has this much snow on it, so I'm not planning on going right now.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I can't help you now. I'm in California, so I escaped the snow.
Yeah. Nice.
So, aside from that, I've not been to Halifax for a very long time either, which... Is the Liquor Dome still there, and is the Lower Deck?
They are both still there. The Dome is, as it's now called, as you remember it. I think some of the other entities that were part of it, like there's like 18 bars in one.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
I think like one of them became like a burger place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Cheers has become... something else, like TGIF.
Oh, wow. It's commercial now.
I don't remember now, and I feel stupid when people are
listening. No, you don't.
And that's not
people have no clue what I'm talking about, so this is all new to them. And then the Lower Deck, for people that have never been to Halifax, is like the place for like really good, like kind of folksy Acadian music, right? Like,
yeah, it's like Irish music, people jigging on boats and stuff. Every time I go there, I get ID'd.
Are you saying that the demographic is now old?
I don't know. I think they think that I'm a young person who is trying to sneak into a bar.
Ah, got it. Yeah, maybe you are. Who knows? Well, listen, I want to ask you a couple quick questions, and then I'll go let you get on with your snow shoveling day ahead. The first thing that I like to ask is, we'll ask 3, which is, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, and that's linkedin.com/in and then Denise Allison.
Terrific. How are you, Denise, changing the world?
Oh, no, you really should have prepped me for this question.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, so one of the things that I like to think I'm doing is helping people come out from this perception that social media is ruining the world because people are feeling more isolated. They're feeling more depressed. They're looking at other people's highlight reels, how people are showing up as not necessarily themselves, but as who they kind of hope that they are, and helping people build real relationships. So showing up as yourself, not trying to be perfect, and making real connections with people on social media. Even if you've never actually met them in real life, they can be a great friend to you if you're putting the time in to build those relationships with them.
That's terrific advice, and that's a great help to the world. Hey, a side note, have you read Hooked by Nir Eyal?
I have not.
Or his new book is called Indistractable.
Okay.
A word he made up. So what he first did is he wrote Hooked, which is how to create addictive products essentially on the internet. And I think a lot of Silicon Valley used it, including social networks. And then he realized that this is killing everybody because it's basically it's why we're so divided. And I think he realized that. So he wrote Indistractable, so you can take back control of your time. But very interesting, because your advice is very practical and probably consistent with his. And he goes obviously deep dive on it.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Maybe he like got in my brain and stole it.
Somebody did. I don't know. He's got it in print, so I think that's copyright, you know.
Well, I haven't read it.
Yeah, we're checking out, because for anybody that's listening to the advice that Denise is giving us, you go deeper with Nir Eyal, and I'm trying to get him on the podcast actually, because it shows how it's using our biological psychology against us with these addictive social networks. And I don't think I realized until I read it what the heck was going on with dopamine.
Okay.
So what your practical advice is to, you know, about the unhappiness thing, and that's why I kind of brought it up, because it's interesting, is like, let's change the world by being conscious of this and like controlling what we do with social media. I think that's really important advice.
Yeah.
Okay. The final thing is, when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we'd like you to nominate other interesting guests. We typically talk to experts and entrepreneurs about their journey and how they're helping other people. So who would you, Denise, like to nominate as a future guest of the audience?
Oh no. I don't know if you've had this person before, but Chantel Sumis, have you had her?
No. So it's Chantel?
Yes.
And it's Sumis?
Yeah, Sounis.
And what is Chantel's role in the universe?
She is a fantastic person who unfortunately found out she had MS at the age of 27.
Oh, wow.
And so she had all kinds of issues related to that, including... she'll tell the story better than I will, but including losing vision in part of one eye.
Wow.
Damage to the brain. Like, some days she's great, and others I think are a little bit more challenging for her. So she speaks out about that kind of thing. She's an advocate for differently abled people, and so she speaks out about accessibility and what have you. And she's a great person at like LinkedIn, especially branding and those kinds of other things.
Terrific. Okay, so Chantel, we are going to get introduced to you, and we accept the nomination for a future episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Denise, is there anything we haven't touched on that we should have?
I mean, you didn't ask me about my sweater.
Oh, what is going on with that sweater?
Yeah, so
it's really fancy. I like it.
Yeah, so I got the sweater in Argentina.
Oh, great.
It's made of alpaca wool. And so this is my, like, I have two alpaca sweaters.
Oh, wow.
And I was at Frenchie's recently, which is in Nova Scotia. It's like a thrift store. So it's secondhand clothing. Most of it comes from the Boston in the US. But I was there recently and I found another one.
Oh, my husband,
and now I'm
So you guys are like twinning for Christmas.
Yeah.
Does he know he's getting it, or is he?
Oh, no, he has it already.
He's there you go. Okay.
Been made to wear it.
I wasn't sure if it was like a Christmas gift. But...
No.
So you went to Argentina for this sweater?
Well, I mean, I went to Argentina and I saw these sweaters and I had to have one. I didn't go specifically for the sweater.
I thought like a shaman or something like knitted it for you. But...
No, it's one of the little markets.
No problem. All right. So now we understand the story behind the alpaca sweater. I love it. Mm-hmm. Denise, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on the next episode of Automate and Grow.